Nō mai, wairua tapu, haere mai ki kōnei.
Mō tēnā. Elijah and Karen here. We're the pastors of Unite Church, and we're a church of small communities that apprentice under Jesus together.
We desire to, as a faith community, to grow as apprentices of Jesus according to the Bible by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Devoted to God and Jesus with one another.
Showing the world the love of God.
As we begin the Gospel of Matthew, started this week, this is probably about 16 weeks of this, I want to frame this Gospel in one of its core messages, maybe even its core message, which is the kingdom of God. Or to put it another way, the way of God, the true way of God. I know we've been challenged in the books of Samuel to wrestle with the text, approaching it with humility, as we know that we don't know it all, you know, and we have to trust God in the middle of the mystery and confusion. I encourage us to continue with this book with the same frame of mind and frame of heart. Opening our hearts to the formative work of the Holy Spirit and not leaning on our own understanding. So not leaning on what we've already been taught or what we know from when we're younger, but let's actually rest in the love of God and allow Him to teach us. You ready? You promise?
Yes.
Okay. So Matthew. Matthew was written, the Gospel of Matthew, was written as a letter of good news, ushering in a new kingdom, which is actually the true kingdom. The kingdom of God, a gospel, which is what Matthew is called. A gospel is a message of good news. And it's not just any good news. It is a royal term ushering in a king that proclaiming peace through power. In the context of Roman domination in the ancient world, this letter was written primarily to first century Jews to remind them of their purpose and to remind them of the coming Christ, the story of God in flesh. God's people were called in Exodus to represent God to the world. Actually, humanity was called in Genesis to represent God to the world. And then we see with Abraham, God bringing about a redemptive plan. And then in Exodus, the people of God to represent God to the world. God came in flesh many years later to fulfill that mission, to save the world and invite us to join this mission. This letter subverts culture in profound ways. In a culture of greed, pride, and power-corrupting leadership, God arrived on the scene. Jesus ushers in the kingdom of God. In his birth, the way he lived, and the death he died. The true kingdom in which Maker becomes Savior. Jesus calls those around him to walk in the way of God, inviting in the outsider and the outcast, treating people as image carriers of God. Matthew links back to Genesis and the intent of the Trinitarian God from the very beginning, to partner with humanity in loving family. Here's Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. The plan was always about partnership. And the plan was not fully realized because partnership requires consent, and humanity desired kingdom without God. And when we do this, our kingdoms are full of death, because only in God is there life. Speaking of partnership, have you noticed that most of what God does in the Old Testament is through people? Because this was and is his core desire. And so in the Gospels, we see this partnership is fulfilled in Jesus. This is a huge deal. He is the only human who fully trusts in the loving partnership with the Father by the Spirit. Jesus doesn't just show us the way. He is the way. It's this great mystery of us being saved, not just by him, but in him. We are saved in his death and resurrection so we can be recreated into new life. So then in his death, our sins are paid for. We are invited into partnership through Jesus to bring about this kingdom he is ushering in that God desired from Genesis 1 This is our purpose as people of Jesus, to embody the kingdom of God by receiving his new life and following him in his ways, until one day it will be seen, the kingdom of God that is, in its fullness. Mm. So right now it's arrived in his death and resurrection. It is finished, it is done, it has come, and we impart and we live it out. And it grows in our hearts and lives, and then one day he'll return and it will be in fullness. Mm. And we see this in Revelations 21, the very end of the Bible. So what I'm trying to do here is show you from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, and with the Gospels kind of bang in the central place here, how God is true to who he is.
Mm.
So here we go. Revelations 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is John and his apocalyptic, poetic truth that he's writing. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children."
Mm.
When we think of the kingdom of God, it's easy to forget what we're talking about. A kingdom is a place or state that is under the leadership of a king. When Jesus talks about the kingdom, he is talking about God taking back all creation from the powers of darkness and sin. He is talking about heaven on earth, a kingdom that represents him fully. The world is not as it's supposed to be. Jesus came to bring about the way the world is supposed to be. Matthew shows us exactly what kind of kingdom God desires. One of forgiveness, humility, healing, restoration, unity, one of sacrificial, self-giving love, from full-hearted trust in God. Let's keep this in our hearts and minds as we read through the Gospel of Matthew. And let's keep this prayer in our hearts as we continue to take steps every single day as apprentices of the kingdom of Jesus. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in us, in me, and on earth as it is in heaven. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Like Elijah said before, it's exciting to be in a new book. So a big warm welcome to Matthew, and sorry to see you go, Samuel.
Sayonara, Samuel.
And what a way to start in Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah. I don't know about you, but I used to read this and feel the need to skip it or rush through it or just not even read it at all. Blah, 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 get me to Jesus. But having had the community shared discipline of reading through whole books over the past couple of years, this list of names has a whole lot of significance that I and maybe you have come to learn.
Mm.
Context is crucial, not only to understanding the Bible and what it says, but having the knowledge of our whakapapa. Mm. As sons and daughters of God our Father, the creator of the universe, this is our family history. This is what makes our present moment, our right now, so rich. This is our family line.
Yep.
A lot of conversation that flows from reading these verses sounds like, huh, there are women in here. There are faithful people in here. There are people who got really hurt by other people close to them. There are people in here that don't seem that regal for the King of Kings to be born into.
Mm.
And a good question to ask is, what do we think God is trying to say to you or to us through this? when we look at the genealogy, we see that it starts with Abraham. Now, obviously, Abraham wasn't the first human. But as we read together previously, Abraham holds the promise that through him, all nations will be blessed. And Jesus is the seed from this promise.
Mm.
And so are you. And so am I. And so are you.
And Jesus, yeah.
And Jesus. And then we've just read about the people's need for a king and where that got them with Saul. And then David's story. This genealogy establishes Jesus' claim to the throne of David through his adoptive father, Joseph. This is not a blood lineage of Jesus through Mary, but the legal lineage of Jesus through Joseph. The Gospel of Luke provides Jesus' blood lineage through Mary. And that also is, when you think about Joseph and where he fits in the story, it's quite significant that his line is through, that's written through there. And then a quote from Charles Spurgeon, because we all know that I enjoy what he has to say. Thinking of that line of people, with one or two exceptions, these are the names of persons of little or no note. The later ones were persons altogether obscure and insignificant. Our Lord was a root out of dry ground, a shoot from a withered stem of Jesse. He set small store by earthly greatness. So from all this, I think there's two main things to take here, and maybe more. One, Jesus isn't just a stand-alone guy, isolated because of his name or his title. He comes from a long line of human beings, some favourable, some not so much, but it just goes to show who God partners with, which is exactly what Elijah was just saying. And then the second is that God partners with us, with you, with me, with the people in our lives that are difficult or wonderful or hard work. He chooses us all, which is well within his story, his character, and his heart.
Fantastic. Which brings us to our questions, which is for us to share together and allow the Spirit to work in our communities. Okay, Tahi, what about the birth of Jesus reveals to us the kind of king that he is?
Rua. As we consider the genealogy in Matthew, what does this tell us about how God chooses to partner with humanity?
Mm-hmm. And Toru, where is the Holy Spirit inviting you to partner with him right now?
Mm. And to end, thank you, Unite, for your regular gifts of money and time, committing yourselves to the word and prayer and the practice of Christ's love and community. We're thankful to Jesus for you.
We want to always take time to consider our money and treasures before God and offer them up in worship to him as a part of our apprenticeship to Jesus.
Father God, thank you for providing it for us day by day. Thank you for tithes and offerings given to Unite. Thank you for your Spirit leading us in generosity to one another and wherever you lead. We trust you with our money, possessions, time and choices. We trust that you're good and that you lead us well. In your holy name, amen.
Brilliant. And finally, just a couple of things to remind you. You can find information about Unite or contact us via our website, unitechurch.org.nz.
If you want to listen to this video in podcast form, you can find us on Spotify by searching Unite Neighbourhood Church.
We have our youth group gathering on Thursday nights. Ask your neighbourhood church shepherd about it and we'll get details to you.
Also, we invite you to consider baptism into Jesus. Baptism is a practice that follows a That follows a decision to follow Jesus. There's too many followers.
Could have been
in
written
there.
Better. Sorry, guys.
Okay,
it's a public declaration of a personal decision. Essentially, if you feel the Holy Spirit's talking to you about baptism and you want to know more about it, start the conversation. Be bold and we'll help you out. And finally, our next monthly all-in gathering will be next Sunday, 27th of August, 10 a.m. Come and worship Jesus. Come because you're a part of this community and this is what we do. And come because you'll be blessed to do so.
Nice.
Now, final benediction. Go for it, Karen.
May we rest in the goodness of our Father. May we trust in Jesus as Lord. May the Holy Spirit form us and guide us as we journey together. May we practice Christ's love in community. May we partner with God in putting the world back together. Above all else and in all things, may we know that we are truly and wholly loved by God.
Amen. We're praying for you in the love of Jesus. Aroha nui.